Listen and stream the all-new talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
As I said to you, I have another interview starting now. And this, of course, we continue to speak about several things related to finance. This morning, we're speaking about something called the digital wallet. Might be a new term for many of us, and here to explain, the digital wallet is founder of Zed Labs, Mark Pereira. Good morning to you. Welcome to our program.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
Nice to have you with us here this morning. Sounds like a pretty interesting thing. I'm sure it's something that many people might be hearing for the very first time. The digital wallet. Before we get into explaining what that is, let's familiarize you with our listeners. Tell us a bit about yourself and some of what you're involved in.
Yeah, man. To keep it short, I guess I started my career in Sydney, Australia. I was privileged enough to go to university in Australia, where they're very forward thinking. It's a big island, so being in a first real island nation was really something that I saw as a North Star for Trinidad. And for me, it was a great place to kind of shape my professional career, because I saw a lot of similarities in Trinidad that, it could exist from what I saw in Australia. And eventually I started my own digital company, a software development company, and eventually built up a global audience. And realizing that with this global audience, I could work from anywhere in the world, I started to travel a bit and do my digital nomad side of my career, and eventually made my way back to Trinidad because, altruistically, through it all, my main goal was to leave Trinidad, learn as much as I can, and bring back what I could to benefit Trinidad to benefit our society for the greater good. And I'm back here. I've been here 3 years now. I've identified a few problems in Trinidad that are major systemic problems to the growth and development of our technological sector or technology sector. And I've been implementing a few businesses that are essentially are sustainable ways in which we can push forward our technology sector. And those three things are a software development bootcamp. So we've taught people on how to program from not knowing how to code at all to all the way to working with us at Zed Labs. We have opened a co-working space. We're now opening our a bigger location on Wrightson Road. And that is to foster the technology ecosystem, bring people together, help them, rub shoulders with people in the same field, in the same community, so that they can, propel their careers. And the third thing, which is kind of for us the silver bullet for Trinidad, is a digital wallet called WAM. And essentially what that is, it's aimed at, using smartphone technology to provide people with digital money, so that, we can service the areas that maybe the bank cannot, or maybe the banks are held back by because of, relationships with outside banks or strict KYC problems. And so that we could service people who maybe want to get deeper into the digital realm or just want to store money digitally in a secure means with the smartphone that they have on them.
Why would I want I'll get you to explain it a bit different, but why would I want to do that? What would be the benefits of me storing money digitally?
Number one, you don't have to keep cash around. So cash is a physical thing. It's easier to steal, actually, than digital money. With your smartphone, you have this thing called biometric security. So that's your face ID or your digital PIN. So you can store, essentially large amounts of cash on your smartphone, which is secured by the technology within your smartphone. You can transact a lot easier than cash. So essentially, if I want to get paid, if I am maybe a contractor, or if I just want to send my friend money, he lives in Arima, I live in Port of Spain, or he lives in South and I live in Port of Spain, or maybe, one of your workers is traveling from Maya Road just to pick up some cash and go back. These are things where your digital wallet comes a lot more convenient than cash, and also more convenient than your bank, because the infrastructure of digital wallets actually allows you to top up your wallet in more convenient locations and more locations than bank branches do. There's also with mobile money, you know, the ability to shop online is there. Currently you have to have a debit card with the bank, and there's a lot of other opportunities.
But you're not operating in tandem with the banks, you're operating outside of the banking system.
It's a bit of a handshake with the banks. So essentially with WAM, we currently our customer base operates kind of outside of where the bank can reach. And I was mentioning before that banks have relationships with US banks, and that actually poses a lot of risk for them to reach customers that are kind of outside of the reach of banks. So I'm talking about people who in your like, let's say, Toko, Mayaro, or maybe Guaya, like your people in Ikakos. They don't have bank branches there, but you know, those are also areas that are kind of your more dangerous areas. They might have a little more criminal activity, and essentially what we do with the mobile money wallet is we service those underserved areas, but then we also do service your traditional banking customers, because traditional banking customers would have your debit cards or your credit cards and maybe would want to send money to those to people who are not banked or prefer not to use their bank accounts. And the benefit is that 77% of the population of Trinidad, I believe that number has grown, but that's a statistic I'm using, they own smartphones, like internet connected devices. So it's easier to reach people with smartphones just by sending them money to their digital wallet.
Okay, let's explain this in greater detail to people. How does it work? I have my bank account. Let's take Govin for an example. Govin works here. Govin has a bank account with X Bank. All Govin money in this bank. How does this internet wallet work for Govin? Let's just say he has to come. Govin and I am doing business. And I'm with another bank. And Govin has a digital wallet. I need a digital wallet, I'm assuming, in order for us to have this transaction. But how does it work with money moving from my account, from his account to my account?
Okay. So there's three ways of getting money from your bank account or cash into the wallet. So I'll focus on the bank. There's two ways from the bank. So with the bank account, you would make a bank transfer to our business's bank account. So essentially when that transfer happens, we then recognize the transfer happens. Let's say you send $100 from Govin's bank to our bank account. Just the simple bank transfer or online bank transfer that you're used to, or going into the bank and making a transfer. When we see that your account number is, we receive a bank transfer from your account number, then we update your wallet, because you will have registered your wallet and then connected your bank account with your account number. So that's means of topping up. Number one, you send a bank transfer to us, we update your wallet. The second means is your debit card or your credit card. So you can top up your wallet just by entering in the debit card details. And then what is known as, like, what's the money that's stored in banks that's digital, or the money that's stored in the wallets that's digital, is called e-money.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially what you're doing is you're taking your e-money from your bank account and then sending it to the WAM wallet. So you can top up via entering your debit or credit card information, selecting the amount that you want to top it up, and then you send it over there. Or for the cash side of things, there's mobile money agents. So these digital wallets operate with a network of people who are essentially like your convenience stores or your mom and pop shops, or even your business, like your pharmacies, potentially lotto booths, right? So these places you can actually go to and top up your mobile wallet with cash. So those are means in which you get the money into the mobile wallet. And then you want to send money if Govin wants to send money to you, then he will send it via his digital wallet to your digital wallet.
Mm.
At that point, Then you take it from your digital wallet. You can go to a merchant that accepts that e-money. So essentially the merchant would have to kind of like what you see in Cash, and Cash has these QR codes around. That's places where you can now spend that digital money, that e-money.
How, in order for this to work, you would need two parties that have the technology and are using the technology. How ready are we as a nation, transaction ready, for want of a different term, across the nation? How many businesses are up and running with this system or can access this system? If I have a digital wallet, am I limited at this point in time, Mr. Inder, exactly where I can go and who I can go to? How many people? Do you have an idea as to what percentage of the population or business community, rather, is prepared to use this or is using this at this point in time?
Yeah, that number for us is, I do not have that number. Those numbers, let's say like Paywise and Ncash are two digital wallets that I know are live. That is kind of proprietary at the moment to them, but I do believe Paywise has over 180 locations that do accept their digital wallet. Don't quote me on that, but it's probably available on their website. And Ncash, you can go into the map in the mobile wallet, and you can see those merchants that do accept it. And it's a quite wide array of people who are using these mobile wallets, but it is very new. This industry is in its nascence. It's probably gotten to Trinidad in the last 2 years, I would say. But this year, it's really heating up as some of these solutions are going live. Businesses are finding their customers. They're getting valuable information on what their customers want to do with the wallets. And then they're starting to iterate and develop. So very new industry, but a very promising industry.
Mm.
Because I think the major benefit really for mobile money, I call it mobile money, right? Because it's a worldwide phenomenon where mobile money comes to a country and it uplifts entire GDPs up to 4%. There's a McKinsey report that, you know, states that when money moves freely and, you know, that when money can move at a pace that's a lot faster than it currently does, then you start to uplift people. Money starts to move quicker and business starts to happen quicker. And then entire economies start to grow. People start to be lifted out of poverty. And you find that the MSME sector, the micro, the small, the medium enterprises in countries start to be able to do things like move online a lot quicker, sell their products online. They're able to get machines that, I think this is one of the biggest sells for digital wallets and e-money, is that if you're a small business and you want to accept digital currency, currently, if you do that through the banks, it's very hard to get a machine. As you know, you're a small business, banks generally ask you for maybe 3 to 5 years of financials or financial projections. And this is very hindering on your chances of actually getting access to those machines. So where mobile money comes in is that it fills that gap for the need for that digital money.
Mm. We've seen the ads, I'm sure some of us, on television, with persons using their phone to pay for bills and all kinds of things. And the technology is, we are playing catch up here at home, that's for sure. The technology is widely available in other parts of the world. One of the problems that we have here at home is a trust issue when it comes to technology. There are some who might disagree with what I'm about to say, but there are people who really don't trust technology at all. There are some people who don't even trust banks. And in a bank, you can walk in and physically see money and all of that kind of thing and deal with an individual, much less to have an entire process that is digital, faceless, and you're interacting with technology and not with an individual. And that kind of apprehension, it goes deep into our society. I mean, we have pensioners who still don't want a bank account because they want their check in their hand. And I know people who will never deal with a bank because they just don't trust them. What's been the response, if you can tell me, gauging from the people that you've been dealing with, what has been the response to this digital wallet?
So you're very right in the fact that trust is a major barrier of entry. And I would agree with a lot of the people who with the solutions that have been offered so far, especially technology solutions, and this is the reason why we are trying to bolster the technology ecosystem, is because that our culture around technology is really not like the cultures around technology around the world.
Mm-hmm.
We just simply do not have the technologists currently to maintain. And I say this with a broad stroke of a brush. There are definitely companies that are outliers in this case that can build really relevant, secure technology. But I think, you know, with every implementation of technology that we've seen in Trinidad, it ends up breaking. It ends up, you know, some things end up getting leaked. You know, there are cybersecurity attacks that have taken down large corporations in Trinidad. And when you find out the reasons why these things are happening, it's because we just don't have our grips on the infrastructure. We outsource a lot. And when you outsource to companies, there's this communication gap, but then there's also the time in which the response time. So that's the problem currently, is that we don't have a great industry or a culture around technology that we really have our grips on. But I do believe that's going to change. And I think that trust around money is essential. So that basically the technology companies that are coming up now, we generally, our audience, how we're kind of breaking through that barrier is that we are going to the audiences that are more familiar with technology. So the younger generations are gonna be the early adopters here. We've seen this throughout the world, is that generally, you know, younger people start to grab the technology, start to use it, and then it starts to move its way up the ages. So, you know, a kind of a typical user scenario we'll see is one of the, you know, somebody, we've actually geared this in our digital wallet. We have enabled what's known as the network effect by having links that you can share with people.
Mm-hmm.
So you'll be on WhatsApp, you get a link, money request is $50, and you share that within your friends. Maybe you go out for a dinner and then you split the bill and you send out these links. But then eventually that link will find its way to your father, your mother, your grandparents. And then they'll click this thing and say, what's this? And they say, oh, granny, you know, just send me $50. It's easy. You know, you sign up and maybe you put your card information in, or maybe they'll walk them through it. So it'll move up through the ages, which is where generally there's the lack of trust. But seeing it work, seeing it adopted, and then starting to see the brand take off, because ultimately that's the main thing, right, is that once businesses start to use it, once it's proven in the market that it is secure, then you will find, and people have adopted it in large numbers, you've seen it on the billboards, then you will start to build the trust. Mm-hmm. I'm not worried about that. And you know, there's obviously the data privacy laws that we have to adhere to, and also the back end. So the central bank has done a great job at putting regulations in place that where you have to meet security requirements. So these digital wallets aren't coming through, you know, they're not just coming out and issuing wallets without having gone through a rigorous security protocol with the central bank.
Well, two questions to wrap up. How does someone set up a digital wallet, and what kind of charges can one expect for using this service?
Yeah, so how to set up a digital wallet? You have your smartphone, you download the app, and the good thing is that you don't have to leave your house. You could be lying down in your bed and you just type in your information. It's kind of like signing up for a bank online without PDFs and having to email anyone. And typically it can happen within the time frame of a minute to 5 minutes. So you just enter in your information, and depending on which tier you want to be in, so in mobile money, there's the ability to sign up for a wallet without providing any ID. But the limit is that you have limited amounts to spend. So you might have a $500 daily limit. Then if you want, if you provide more ID, because that's a security protocol for us, we need to know who's transacting to give you a higher limit on your spend. Then you provide your ID. And yeah, generally that process of what is known as KYC or know your customer, that process takes between 1 and 5 minutes. So it's way more beneficial than signing up for a bank, as we all know that can take days, weeks, if you even get to. And then your second question was
charges.
Yeah, charges differ between carriers. I'm not going to quote other carriers' charges, but for us, if you want to top up at a convenience store, there's no charges. So you put, you take $100 in cash and you put it into your app. It's free to top up. Free to send peer-to-peer transactions. So if I want to send funds to mom, dad, it's free. The charges actually come in when you want to cash out. So when you're taking money out of the system, if someone has sent you money and you're taking out the money for cash, if it's at a physical location, then we charge you 2%. And also when you're spending at businesses, for the user, it's free. For the business, there's a 2 to 2.5% transaction fee. So it's pretty much like your typical bank machine, except a little lower because we're trying to be competitive. We also don't have a lot of infrastructure to rely on, so we can keep our business models a little more lean than banks. So you'd find that with mobile money, it's actually cheaper to transact, just minus the fact that when you want to take the money out of the system.
Okay, as we wrap up our interview, give our listeners information. If they want more information, how can they contact you or get that information?
Yeah, so we, my email, well, you can email info@zed.io, zed.io, for more information, and we'll answer to you as promptly as we can. You can check out our websites, zed.io or wam.money for the digital wallet. If you want updates on social media, you can always follow us at zedlabs, z_labs on Instagram, or wam_now on Instagram as well. So yeah, that's all of our social handles, and we're always you know, quick to reply.
Yeah, I want to thank you this morning for being with us and shedding some light on this element of technology that has only just come to our shores, and we are still way behind everybody else. But hopefully, you know, people familiarize themselves and educate themselves. That's the biggest hurdle that they need to cross. And once they get over that, well, I guess everything else is a walk in the park. Thank you once again for being with us here this morning and explaining to us the digital wallet.
No problem. Thanks.
And that's how we end our interview here this morning with Mark Pereira, founder of Zed Labs, a digital wallet. The world is moving at a pace that, for some strange reason, we always seem to be decades behind one way or the other.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.